Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, Paraguay's Finance Minister, Lia Jimenez Duarte, explains why tackling corruption should always be at the top of the to-do list.
Corruption has a way to hide in small, dark little spots and spread around very quickly. And then, once you notice it, it's perhaps too late.
When people trust their government, good things happen. They're much more likely to pay their taxes and support those large infrastructure investment projects that help economic growth. And a new IMF paper on the institution's role in governance issues shows that high corruption means less growth and more inequality. Lia Jimenez Duarte is Paraguay's first ever woman finance minister and joined a panel discussion about transparency and corruption during the 2018 IMF World Bank spring meetings. So you've just recently stepped in as finance minister. What is the state of the economy of Paraguay?
Yeah, Paraguay is going through a very positive moment in terms of the economy, right? We, even as the rest of the region, we face the 40% decline in commodity prices, you know, at the start of the government. That, of course, was a huge hit, both to the economy as a whole, but also to the fiscal side. And we implemented a series of reforms, right, starting 2014, 2015, you know, the transparency law that we talk about in the recent panel, the fiscal responsibility law, and other sorts of the PPP law, the key in hand law.
The PPP.
Public-private partnerships. Yeah, this is a new way. Well, it's not new, but new to us, a new way for us to push forward large investment infrastructure projects. And we started to rethink about how we manage the resources and what is important for people to know what we are doing with the resources, right? And this brought about a huge wave of change in many areas, thanks to the transparency.
So how did you go about doing that?
First, what happened is from managing the resources in complete darkness, we opened that up, sunlight came in, and people could see us naked, right? They could see the fat that was there. And you don't want people to see fat. So we started to cut the fat, the budget fat. And that was a fantastic process because that allowed us to redirect resources to the areas that needed the most. Social programs, right? They increased about 200% in terms of coverage, but they also increased about 250% in terms of their size. And that means we are covering a larger number of vulnerable people, but also we are providing them with larger support, right? Then we also started to diversify the economy. The economy, let's say the period 2008 to 2012, you will see that the contribution of the agricultural sector to growth, the GDP growth, was about 35%. And in the last period, 2013 to 2017, you see a decline of the agricultural sector from 35 to 19. And you see new engines of growth. We see, for example, construction, infrastructure, right? The level of infrastructure in Paraguay is really poor. We have a very large infrastructure gap. And this has always been, yeah, we have very poor infrastructure. What are we going to do? Why don't we build the infrastructure? You know, putting money into infrastructure generates jobs, right?
But to collect the amount of revenues that you needed to rebuild the infrastructure, what was the challenge there? I mean, did you have to regain the confidence of the people that these taxes would be spent responsibly?
That's right. You know, as soon as people hear PPP, they start to think, oh, you're going to privatize public infrastructure. And this is a learning process, a learning curve as well in terms of how we work within the public sector. And therefore, I would not say it was easy. It was a very challenging process. And we have incurred very high costs, political costs, you know, costs in terms of learning, etc. But I think it's a no-brainer. We have to do this, right? We will never have enough resources on the public sector alone to finance the infrastructure that the country needs. And therefore, we have to go this direction, right? And at the same time, the freeing of fiscal space from the, you know, cutting the fat was really impressive. We were able to contain the wage bill, and we were able to redirect resources truly to two areas, social programs and infrastructure. Right.
So people they have more trust in the government with their money.
I think that's an ongoing process. It doesn't happen overnight. Imagine, in 2015, we have the law working, the transparency law, 2014 approved, and then 2015, 16, you start to see the impact of this law. It was huge. And usually what happens when you approve a transparency law, the purpose of it is exactly to do what you said, to build the trust, right? To build a social fabric, if you will. But that is not an easy task. And that's something when the box was completely closed and then you open it up, obviously you will find things there that need change, right? And people get upset. People start getting upset about excess, about superfluous spending. And therefore, I believe... that's what I said when I said that it has a very high political cost. Mm-hmm. People think they associate what they find with you, but it's in fact you who open up that box, right? And it's in your hands now to push forward the change. And change takes time, you know. The fiscal side is a very big, very large ship, right? And you start to turn the wheel. It takes time for it to start switching directions. But we do see that after 3-4 years of working on it, right?
So something came up in the panel that I thought was interesting. I think it was Madame Lagarde that brought it up, that during that transition process in these reforms, that it's sometimes difficult to get things done because people are uncomfortable with what might come up. How difficult was it to actually get things done during that transition period?
I think we are still in a transition period with regards to transparency. It's an ongoing process. And the more you see, the more you find, right? The more you have to work on it, and the more challenges you, more fronts, right? But at the start, we were thinking, yeah, this will not last. You know, the next government will come back and shut down the transparency, close the doors again. But then right now, as we are entering the electoral cycle, we are electing a new president. We saw that in the discourse, in the political dialogue, they were talking about transparency and they were talking about fighting corruption. They were talking about this ongoing process and sort of reinforcing this idea. And I don't think any of the candidates ever proposed we will eliminate transparency. It's just not possible. It sounds awful. Right?
Once it's out there, it's there for good.
Once it's out there, I think it's there for good. You can never take things for granted. I think, you know, we've seen in the past things changing for the worse in other countries, but I think it's there to stay. Civil society is hungry for transparency.
The one thing that you said that struck me as surprising was the divorce rate went up. Talk to me about how that happened.
That's right. What happened is people did not know how much the public employees were earning. And obviously, as we saw from these divorce rates going up, and also publication, you know, it becomes very public. We are a relatively small country, so people find out about it, and then even you'll see it in the papers. The fact is that public workers have many, many, many benefits that people did not know about, and even their own spouses didn't know about. So therefore, as they start to find out, they start to get upset, right?
What do you think? I mean, you're here in Washington to discuss corruption and transparency. What do you think is the role of the international community, or at least, you know, the international financial institutions? What is their role in trying to help countries like Paraguay deal with corruption and transparency?
I think the IMF in particular could play a key role. I was very glad to hear that Madame Lagarde mentioned that the IMF is moving to that direction. I think for me, I think I'm a relatively young person working in the public sector and heading one of the perhaps most important institutions in the country, which is the Ministry of Finance, is key to have the IMF intruding, to put it somehow, right? I love for the IMF to intrude in these matters because we truly want all the support we can get, right? You can have very strong macro fundamentals, but you have to ensure that the foundations of that, the micro foundations are strong, right? And corruption has a way to hide in small, dark little spots and spread around very quickly. And then once you notice it, it's perhaps too late. And therefore, having indicators, having monitoring, and having someone overseeing this with the you know, with a very ample view and linking it to the macro stability, I think will be very useful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Bruce.
Lia Jimenez Duarte is Paraguay's finance minister and joined a panel discussion entitled Restoring Trust by Curbing Corruption at the 2018 IMF World Bank Spring Meetings. You can read the new IMF paper on the institution's role in governance issues at imf.org. And if you like this podcast, subscribe on iTunes or on your favorite podcast app. Just search for IMF Podcasts. And you can also now follow us on Twitter at IMF Podcasts.